You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. BuiltForTheStage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. So we're going to get to it. We have on the podcast, Built for the Stage fam, Jake Boyd. Welcome to the podcast, Jake.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
So we're going to get into some casual conversation about Broadway, things theater, things fitness. If you want to follow Jake on Instagram, he has a form of his name, a hint of it, and it's Jake Boyd, but it's not the actual spelling, so don't be confused of that. It's J-A-Y-K-E-B-O-I-D, Jake Boyd. So go to Instagram, give him a follow. Tell him how much you love him. Go see him in Wicked, where he is playing Fiero eight times a week. This week, it's like 22 times a week.
Yeah, but you're right. See, we're in the holiday schedule, and it's basically just a million shows. So come on down. There's lots of opportunity.
Tell us a little bit about that, because people that aren't on Broadway or aren't familiar with this kind of thing, what does the holidays do to your schedule, you know?
Oh, well, I mean, it definitely makes it a little more strenuous. You know, you have the holiday season. It's fun. You kind of feel like that you get to miss out on some of your fun parties. But at the same time, you get to bring a lot of happiness and joy to people who are coming and celebrating their own holiday. We do have a different schedule to kind of like maximize the eyes viewing the show. So like next week, we're having 9 shows. And it's just a way to, you know, make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to see Wicked who wants to get to see it. It can be a little tiring, but I mean, it's a great job. Like sometimes it's a little exhausting, but I'd still rather do that than really anything else. And we do get one day off. We get Christmas Eve. So I guess that's something.
So you have a show on Christmas?
We have a show on Christmas night.
Oh, yeah. On Christmas night?
On Christmas night.
Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, totally. Why not?
I think there'd be something magical about that.
There is. And I kind of look at these things as good omens. Recently, I had a 2-show day on my birthday. And so I feel like when, maybe not for the rest of my life, I want that. But I think when these things come around and you're employed and you get to have these milestones by doing what you love to do and being fortunate and blessed enough to have that opportunity, I think it's a good juju for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I could see on Christmas night, there would be maybe a sacrifice of, oh, I have to skip this or I can't go home or whatever. But Christmas is, there's something about it. And at night, being on Broadway in such a great show as Wicked, yeah. I think that obviously those people coming to the show on Christmas value going that much more. So they're probably going to be extra hype.
Oh, absolutely. They've been waiting for this all day. Because a lot of them probably got tickets for Christmas presents. And so they're super excited.
Exactly.
I think a lot of kids get surprised with tickets and, you know, they come on over from New Jersey and they have a great time.
Yeah. Forget Jersey, probably the Midwest. The West goes everywhere.
That too, yes, everywhere.
Wicked, you know, is the thing. We talked about it. So Wicked for us is kind of like that iconic musical. I was talking to another client. And he's like, he's a little bit ahead of us. And he was like, yeah, Rent was that for me, you know? But Wicked, I can remember I started musical theater in 7th grade, along with still being heavily involved in sports. But my sophomore year of high school, I can remember this girl in class who also like shared, her name's actually, I'll shout her out, Lisey Shutrump. She's in the business as well. Hey, Lise, what's up? Thanks for being such a big part of my theater journey. But she was going on and on about this new Wicked thing. And I was like, okay. You know, I was still pretty raw in the world and wet eared, you know, not knowing much. And she was like, Wicked, Wicked, Wicked. So I started listening to this Wicked thing. And now look, you know, what is it? 16 years later?
16 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about your like first Wicked experience, what that was for you when you were growing up.
I can't remember the first time I saw the show. It was definitely after I had moved here and was trying to jam my foot in a door somewhere. But I grew up on that album. And even though I hadn't seen the show, I loved it. I mean, you know, this new thing came out from Stephen Schwartz, who hadn't released a musical in a long time. And it was this new, innovative, different sound. And oh my God, there was a role that I really wanted to play one day. And if I think I was maybe like, well, I'm not going to say that because I'm not going to give away my age. But I remember like driving around with some friends of mine, and I have this vivid memory of us all like singing through the whole album, and it's kind of nerding out on it. And if that version of myself could look into the future and see that I was getting to do this now, I think that he would have dropped out of school then.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that. I don't know if I mentioned this yet. I got to see Jake in the show last night, and that was one of the things you had mentioned too, that wow, if you could be where you were at that time and fast forward to knowing that you were going to be Fiero and Wicked, do you have those moments on stage now where instead of looking ahead, you're looking back and you're like, wow, what a ride it's
oh,
been.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that everyone does that to some degree, right? Like you get out of college and then you spend a certain amount of time somewhere and you're like, oh my God, wow, like that all this time and all of these happenings have gone by, and you kind of look back and think, well, was it what I thought it was? Some of it, yes. Some of it, no. Some of it's beautifully different and unexpected. And did I just answer your question?
Was that you did. I think that it's even more special in your case, though. It's one thing to grow up wanting to be an actor and saying, oh, I want to be on Broadway. It's another thing for a Broadway show to last 18 or 16 years, or to be revived or whatever the case may be, where you grew up on it as a young kid and then boom, you're on the stage actually doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you did answer that question totally. This is not your first time in Wicked. You've left and come back.
I've left and come back.
Tell us a little bit about that.
This is technically my third round, but it kind of feels more than that because this year has been kind of been busy, and so I've been jumping in and out. The first time I ever did the show was on tour from 2015, 2016. Did that almost like a year to the day. Loved the experience. It was great. And I always wanted to do it here. You know, things didn't line up. It wasn't my time, or maybe I wasn't ready for it. Who knows? And then last Christmas, really, I guess I kind of celebrated my 1 year anniversary like last week or something. But unfortunately there was an injury that occurred in the show, and they asked me to come, will you please come and do this? And I said, well, absolutely. So I canceled all my Christmas plans. Sorry, Mom, I'm going to be on Broadway. And I filled in for him while he was away and he was healing. And it was a terrific experience. And I was like, okay, well, that was my experience. This may be the only time that I'm going to get to like do this role here on this stage here at the Gershwin, and I'm going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And then a few weeks after I left the show, they called me and they offered me to come back. And I was like, yes. So I took it. And then I left to go do another show. And then I came back to it. So
yeah, that was just Becoming Nancy, right?
Becoming Nancy.
And how was that being immersed in Wicked and then kind of taking a step back, entering into this new show that is a brand new thing, and then going down to Atlanta to put it on? How was that experience for you?
Oh my, it was incredible. It was so great. And I don't know what good karma I did to bring that in, because whoever gets to leave a job, go do something else, and then come back to it. So I'm like, okay, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to keep trying to put it out there. And it was, not only did I love doing Becoming Nancy, I think it's a great show, and I very much hope that there'll be another opportunity. It also kind of like broke up that, it kind of keeps me reinvested in doing Wicked too, because you don't just for 9 months to a year straight, 8 shows a week, just stay there, which that is your job and it is doable and it's great, but it's just like a little extra perk too.
Yeah, everyone needs to break up the monotony a little bit. And especially in your case, it wasn't just a break, but it was a break to do something else artistic and create a different person and in a different world. And then also be able to come back and kind of see things maybe in a new light. Or
totally.
New light. Yeah.
Well, and I'll say that too. Like every incarnation that I've gotten to do the show, there are, I think the core essence of what I think about the character has stayed the same. But through my own life experience and growth, like these little minor changes that happen every time I've come back into it. And it's been interesting to explore a role that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The more things in life that we can go through, the more depth we can bring to a character. That's for sure. So Becoming Nancy wasn't the only thing that you kind of had a foot in the door as far as it being first mounted on a stage, but you were also a part of Be More Chill, and that the first production, like on stage of
the
Be More
very
Chill.
First production on stage, the not the album that was most recently released, but if you buy the original album, you'll hear me on there.
I had to bring it up because the fan following of that is crazy.
It was wild. I mean, speaking for myself, you never know where things are going to go in a show, and didn't know what would happen after that. And so we closed that regional run. We made the album and then cut to, you know, some like 2 years later, and suddenly I look at Instagram and I'm like, what is going on? Like, why do I have like all these people blowing up my messages or something? And then I was like, wow, through this album, people have discovered the show and have kind of fallen in love with it, at least a cult following of it. And that was really wild. It was cool to wake up to.
Yeah. Well, I guess a great play on the producer's part with making an album that early in the game, because that was something that helped, you know, catch fire for them to maybe bring it here to Broadway.
Oh, absolutely.
In the first place. Speaking of like going in and out, you know, with these new things like Becoming Nancy and then coming back to Wicked, we kind of mentioned you got to experience Wicked on one side of the fence in your fitness, and then you got to come back and experience Wicked on the other side of the fence in your fitness. So can you just tell me, just kind of reincarnate what we kind of chat about last night?
Of course,
a bit.
Yeah. Well, first off, I got to say, I think that you're built for the stage. This idea that you have spearheaded is a brilliant idea. It takes a lot of money to be an actor. I don't know if you guys know that, but it takes a lot of money to be an actor. And there are a lot of people who don't come for money who want to be actors. And so there's a lot of struggle that comes with it. And there are, depending on what you are pursuing on this side of the industry, there are, for better or for worse, physical attributes that people expect you to have or to not have. I think that also goes with strength. And if you aren't already in a place of, you know, strong physical knowledge and how to do those things, it can be a struggle. It can be a real struggle for a lot of people to figure out, to not burn out at the gym, to do something that's actually productive, to, you know, when your agent or manager is breathing down your neck about you need to look or you need to do this. And you're like, but how? I don't know. And I also don't have $200 a day to go to a trainer. So I think that what you have laid access, which I will testify does work if you're committed to it, is a genius and brilliant idea. And if any of you have any brains in your head, you'll go do it. I said last year, they asked me to jump in because there was unfortunately an injury and they needed someone quick. And I was also totally unprepared, but there was no way shoot me with a flame gun. I'm going to do this no matter what.
Shoot me with a flame gun. Yeah.
But like I was kind of unprepared. I wasn't in a place of a strong physical stamina, and I had totally let my gym routine kind of go to the wayside. And for many of you who don't know, there Wicked is on a rake stage, and you would be surprised at how just 8 shows a week, day in, day out, being on a rake stage, what even that will do to your body. And I was not strong enough to keep up with it and not feel like I was dying at the end of every single week.
Yeah.
And so having that experience, and then when I knew I was going to come back into it, I had a period of like 2.5 to 3 months. I knew Nancy was going to happen. I knew Wicked was going to happen. And just slowly started to get myself prepared for that. I wasn't doing Built for the Stage at that time. But through when I started doing Becoming Nancy, Jerry Mitchell and Tally Sessions were two people who were like, you got to do this. You got to do this. It's so smart. And when I got back from that contract, because I was still working out, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna try it. And I guess it's been about, I started my third month, and now I feel like all these things that used to bother me about the show, I can actually do. And I mean, I was doing them anyway, but I get to go home and go to sleep and wake up in the morning without these pain and this tension because I am physically stronger. Mm. The physical side effects are nice, but for me, it really is being at that place where I can do my job 8 times a week and not, I don't know, want to just fall on the floor and not do anything for the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like highlighting that and getting into it a bit. I bring it up a lot on Instagram or other media platforms where actors are athletes, right? So let's just for right now, the NBA season's going on, or WNBA with basketball. It'd be like saying, as a pro basketball player, oh, the season's starting, the games are starting, so I'm no longer going to train. I'm just going to play the games. And in theater, when you're just going through the show, you're doing the same thing every day. And your body starts to get, quote unquote, comfortable, or in this state of just neutral. And what we need to do in that training is to continue to vary our physical training in a lot of different domains. Domains meaning the weights we put ourselves under, no weight at all, how intense our workouts are from day to day, what positions we put our body in. That's a big one. Just I'm huge on injury prevention and just durability. And like we said on the rake stage, I come across a lot of low back problems, and you had said hips as well. And just working those things out on a daily basis to make that the most difficult part of your day, so that when you go to your show, it's just not a walk in the park, but it's like, wow, this is not even close to what I've prepared myself for.
I think that you hit the nail on the head there. It's, you know, the workout is the hardest physical attribute of my day. And then when I go to the show, I feel warm. I feel ready. I do a little bit of stretching to kind of warm down and then warm back up. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get to do your job with confidence and ease, which I think any audience member wants to see. You know, you don't want to watch someone struggle to do the job, especially when you pay a lot of money for a ticket.
What's the song where I think it's your first song when you come in and you jump up on the statue a couple times, and which one is that?
Dancing Through Life.
Dancing Through Life, the one I grew up on, loved it. I was watching it and I was like, you know, for someone that's not fit, this would be very difficult, because it only takes a measure or two to get out of breath, and then it sets you behind the eight ball for the whole rest of the song. And if you aren't physically capable to stay on your breath while doing all that stuff, it could be a rough.
Well, and as a time where I have done that number, not in the strongest of shape, I can tell the world of difference. Because you're working on your body, but also you build your lung capacity, you become a stronger person, and suddenly, I used to think that this was kind of challenging, and now it's like I don't even break a sweat anymore, which is incredible.
Funny recollection memory just came in my head. I posted last night about Wicked and listening to it on a burn CD in my truck in Ohio. It was number 6, Dancing Through Life, on that CD that I listened to. Can remember it to this day. Always going to number 6 listening to that. But so let's talk just a little bit more about Wicked, and then we'll get you out of here. You have a show tonight, right?
I have a show tonight, yeah.
Okay. So what does it look like for you to prepare for a role that doesn't come in at the top of the show? Has that been difficult for you? Not right now, but when you were first starting out, I'm not getting to come out of the gate with everybody else, but I have to make this kind of delayed entrance.
Yeah. Well, it is slightly different. I don't think I would get in trouble for saying this, but on the road, the track is slightly different than, say, here on Broadway. Like, I am in the opening number very briefly doing nothing here. On the road, that track.
Not as Fiero, though.
Not as Fiero.
Yeah, you're
no.
You're like playing an ensemble person in different costumes.
Yeah, because up in, Equity Rules, up until your character's introduced.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But on the road, that track, I mean, I don't know if it's changed, but he was in the whole opening number. So it was a good way to kind of feel warm. But the difficulty that I find, and the reason why I also love doing these workouts before I go to the show, is that you don't come in for maybe 20, 25 minutes into the show, your character anyway, and then it's just straight out of the gate. You have your most athletic and difficult number right at the beginning. So you need to already feel warm and ready and have your blood pumping. And so I think that that's the most difficult part, which is also what Built for the Stage has really done well at.
Cool.
Helming.
Well, if you're listening out there and you're an actor, please, when you hear me say actor, I don't put a gender to that. It's a performer to me. So actors and actresses, I am talking to everyone out there. If you are listening, please, see the importance of physically preparing yourself so that you can take your dancing, singing, and acting to a whole other level, because they're all one and the same. As you know. So Jake, thanks for being on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I did not pay or give him any type of nudge to be like, hey, yo, can you
No, talk I'm serious. A lot about it? It's because I think that it's something that works. And what I think is so brilliant about it is you have made something that is, I think, a lot of times a privilege to be able to afford and to do. And you've made it accessible, which is the and interesting. You know, I haven't gotten bored at the gym once since starting this. And that's a feat in and of itself. So do it.
So thank you for that. Those were all goals of mine. Being a former performer, I know that money's tight a lot of the times. I know that as performers that the interest can run pretty shallow pretty quickly. So I try to keep things varied and keep you on your toes. Nothing is the same. Yeah, no, I can attest truthfully. No one day is ever the same.
Yeah, no, it's great.
So yeah, I got you this Flow shirt here. If you haven't checked it out yet, Flow is a flexibility and mobility program that we put together because so many clients were improving in a lot of different areas in their fitness, but they had, you know, a little grimacing pain here or tightness there or, you know, and that's another whole part of the game that we haven't really talked about a lot, but Elise joined us at the Built for the Stage fam, and she's a 10-year yoga teacher vet and also a Broadway performer. So this is a flexibility mobility program geared towards the performer. So you can check that out in the free trial as well. So don't forget, go to the website, builtforthestage.com. Check out that free trial. Please go to Instagram, at Jake Boyd, JAYKEBOID. See him in Wicked as Fiero. Wow, it was a dream come true to see you last night. Thanks so much for just putting up a great show and to the cast of Wicked. Amazing job. Don't forget, you can go to BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com or bpn.fm/builtforthestage if you want to check out any episode that we've put up. We're also on any podcast platform. So until next time, with Jake Boyd here, it's me, Roscoe, signing off. Don't forget about Broadway Podcast Network. Go to the website, BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com. Go to the Instagram, Broadway Podcast Network. There's tons of good content on our network, like Josh Swallow's Broadway, or Ensemblist, or Equity One, or The Feeder Podcast. There's like 90 of them. Just go see which one you like the best after you listen to mine. And yeah, you guys have yourself a good day. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.